May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From today's letter of James, are any among you suffering? They should pray. In 1991, I was first exposed to the Franciscans in Scottsdale, Arizona, on a contemplative retreat led by Father Thomas Keating, one of the great contemplatives of the 20th and 21st century. It was my first time really experiencing the Franciscans up close, both in worship and in eating and in quiet, the quiet of the desert. And it was at that time that I really became interested in trying to understand who Francis was, Francesco, as he was known. St. Francis was born in Assisi in 1181. And his father was a very successful cloth maker, a merchant. And Francis, like many young men of his day, and even young men and women of this day, planned to follow in his father's footsteps. He also had dreams of perhaps being a knight, loved the sense of the glory of the fight. He lived a very privileged life. And in 1201, at the age of 20, he took part in his first border dispute that took place in Assisi. And he was taken hostage and spent a year in prison, which was a transformative time for him in his life. Like so many, while in prison, he had lots of time to think, and especially about God. And he began to have, if you will, this spiritual journey of his heart, soul, and mind. And when he was released from prison, he decided to travel to Rome. And it was outside the Vatican that he came across a number of beggars who were begging as a way of trying to make it through the day. And Francis gave some of his clothing to them and in fact joined them in that begging, trying to help them raise funds. And soon thereafter, he had his vision. His vision that most of us are familiar with, where Christ called him and said to him, "Repair my church. Repair my church." And Francis had to discern what that meant, and he decided it meant that it was to repair the church in San Damiano near Assisi. And he resolved to do that. He resolved to become a hermit, to give away his things, to minister to lepers, and his family was furious with him. They did not understand what he was doing. And 2 years after the beginning of that work, he began to preach, to teach, to evangelize throughout not only Italy, but also through Spain and through France. And he started to emphasize simplicity and poverty. And it was then that he began to write prayers. To write prayers. "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace." We're going to spend the next several Sundays trying to understand how we pray. "Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace." The great Thomas Merton, who lived not far from here, the Abbey at Gethsemane, he wrote while he was in residence there as a spiritual writer, as a Trappist monk, "If you are yourself at peace, then there is at least some peace in the world. Then share your peace with everyone, and everyone will be at peace. Sounds like a very simple formula, which it is, very hard to live out. But it is, if you will, at the very essence of the start of this prayer. So let's look at what was the posture of Francis as he came to prayer. And I don't mean a physical posture, I mean a total being posture. He makes a request to God to be an instrument of God's peace. It's a rather large request for any of us to make. In more 21st century language, if you will, perhaps, it would be for us to say, I can choose peace rather than this. Whatever in your life the this is. And we all have the this in our lives. I can choose peace rather than this. How and when in your daily life are you given opportunities to say, I can choose peace rather than this? In the home, in your relationships, in the workplace, in your community, even in the church. Every day, you will be confronted with at least one situation where you are able to say, I can choose peace rather than this. Now, I will tell you, in our year in living in Versailles and in Kentucky, I find the people, and Ellen and I have found the people, to really be lovely, to be polite and courteous. I hope that's not just a newbie experience. I hope it's going to be ongoing. So out there, I'm not regularly challenged all the time, as one might be perhaps in another part of the country. I don't know, in a busier city perhaps. But yet we have those moments every day in our lives. And I know that you have them, and you may be going through them in particular right now in your life, where you come up against something, and are you able to say, I can choose peace rather than this? What does it mean to request to God, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace? First, it is an acknowledgement that God is peace. God is peace. God's peace is the essence of the universe. It's such an anathema, if you will, or a paradoxical term to talk about war as being holy. There's no such thing as a holy war, whether it's Christian, whether it's Muslim, whether it's Jewish, whether it's Hindu, whether it's Republican, whether it's Democrat, there's no such thing. War in God's eyes is not holy. God is peace. So it's an acknowledgement that that is God's essence, and that's the essence that you and I are striving for. And second, it is taking responsibility for yourself. It's understanding your relationship to God and others and the world with statements that are I statements rather than you statements. How can I be at peace? Not how can you be better at being at peace? Or you be better with me? Or better with this situation? And third, it's responding to these circumstances with peace. Not always aggression and conflict, which is often our normal defense mechanism to fight. The fight or flight response, if you will. But rather to say, I'm going to choose peace. It's also for you to be an instrument of peace, avoid toxic people in your life? You don't have any toxic people in your life? We are not called to be with toxic people. That is not something that God pushes us toward. God instead pushes us to say that there are times that that energy, if you will, is so negative that you must leave it. It's the statements in Scripture where Jesus says, if you're not welcomed, shake the dust off your feet and leave that place and say, peace be with you. Recently, an experience that I had, not with the church and not here in Versailles, I was at a meeting and I went into the room, and in this particular room, again, that had nothing to do with the church, there was such bad energy in the room. It was evil. It was negative energy. It was toxicity, if you will. And sometimes it hits us so hard that the only thing we can do is say, Lord, make us an instrument of your peace, and avoid and get out of those situations. And again, it's not wishing that others would be peaceful, but rather you're bringing God's peace to the world, to your daily life, because it is the call of Jesus Christ to you. It is the beginning of your prayer life. Jesus, from the Sermon on the Mount, said, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God, and they shall be called children of God. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. There are great challenges to you to do that in your prayer life. Every day you will be challenged as you begin your prayers in such a way. You may be challenged when you leave here and don't move quick enough when the light changes. The challenge will happen. It's a great challenge. I want you to reflect right now as to where are you in this, in your prayer life? Are you a person of peace? Are you starting from that place of peace as you pray? How might you get there if you're not? The late Joseph Cardinal Bernardin, a wonderful priest, mentor for so many in the church, in a book that he wrote while he was still living but was published after his death called The Gift of Peace, wrote the following. What I would like to leave behind is a simple prayer that each of you may find what I have found, God's special gift to us all, the gift of peace. When we are at peace, we find the freedom to be most fully who we are, even in the worst of times. He writes, we let go of what is non-essential and embrace what is essential. We empty ourselves so that God may more fully work within us, and we become instruments in the hands of the Lord. Next week, we shall pick up with the second, for me, critical part of the prayer life. Grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand. But for this week, let us live with, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Amen.